So last week, we started talking about the issue of the Saint Talamata Levracha, what's known as She'ela Bebirkas Hashanim. And we talked about what the halacha was if you forgot, and where do you go back. So what we said with respect to the Saint Talamata Levracha is that if you forgot, you can say it in Shomei Tefillah. That's what the Gemara said. If you didn't say it in Shomei Tefillah, and you've gone on, as long as you haven't finished your Shemona Esrei, however you define that, you're able to go back. The question is, where do you go back? And this is a big machlokas harishonim. The Bali HaTosfos and many say that you go back to Shomei Tefillah. You don't have to go all the way back to Birkas Hashanim, to Barech Aleinu. But our psak actually is if you get it in, it's great. If you miss it, Shomei Tefillah, you got to go all the way back to Birkas Hashanim. And what I wanted to take a little detour, we were going to read some of the text, but I really want to detour today to talk about a topic that's very interesting, perhaps not well known, but maybe should bother us. Many, many years ago, a contemporary of mine wrote a paper for a writing contest, which was known as "The Rain Grows Mainly from the Grain." The grain grows mainly from the rain in Spain. And it was about the position of the Rush as to when you say the same Talamat Lavracha when you're outside of Eretz Yisrael. Now, I don't know. In Eretz Yisrael, it's very clear the rain when the rainy season is and when you need rain and when you don't want rain. And really, in Eretz Yisrael, you want rain starting in Tishrei, the planting season. And once you harvest it in Nisan and the crops are dry in the fields, it's a very bad idea to have rain. And that is the typical pattern. Many of the Mishnayos in Tainus deal with the issue. And there's a story in Sefer Shmuel. When he met with the people after Shaul had been anointed and appointed, so he explained to them why he was angry at them, why God was angry at them for requesting a king. And he wanted to demonstrate to them what God's anger could be. So he says, "Hinei tzirchitem hayom. Today is already the wheat harvest. I'm going to spread out my hands to God, and there will be rain." And then, of course, the clouds come, and then he prays for them, and the rain doesn't happen. But as Chazal pointed out, rain in Eretz Yisrael in after Pesach is really a simen klala, because from an agricultural perspective, it's a disaster. Now, the Mishnayos and Tainus, and this is the first source on the sheet. I hope by now everybody has it. The first source is the Mishnah and Tainus and Daf Yud, which quotes a debate as to when you start reciting the same Talmud Levracha. Everybody agrees that you start praising God for rain, and we spoke about this last time. You're Mazkir and Gevuras Geshamim when Sukkot, at the end of Sukkot. Right? We don't want to praise God for rain during Sukkot, because rain during Sukkot isn't a good thing either. But at the end of Sukkot, we first start to be Mazkir. It's not a Bakasha. And as we explained last week in response to, I think Larry had this question, so did the Rishonim, which is, why can't you make up Mashiv HaRuach Morad HaGeshem in Shomei HaTzvilah? Right? The same Talamat HaLevracha you can make up, but if you miss Mashiv HaRuach Morad HaGeshem, so you can't make it up in Shomei HaTzvilah, you have to start, once you finish Mechai HaMesim and you forgot to say Mashiv HaRuach Morad HaGeshem, you have to go back to the beginning of the Amidah. And the answer, the truth is, the Yerushalmi says you can. But the position of what appears to be the Bavli's position and most Rishonim is that you can't, and Rashi and Tosfos both explain, because Mazkir and Gevuras Geshamim is not a bakasha, it's not a request, and only requests go in Shomei HaTefillah. The same Talmud Levracha is a request that belongs in Shomei HaTefillah. So the first mission in the Masechta had spoken about when we're Mazkir and Gevuras Geshamim, it's the last day of Chag, and now the Mishnah says, B'shlosha b'marcheshvan sho'al l'mesag shamim. The Tanakhama says that we start to say V'sein Talmud Levracha on the third day of Mar Cheshvan, which is approximately 10 days after the end of Sukkot. Rabban Gamliel Omer B'Shivabo, which is Chamisha Asayom Achrei HaChag. It's 15 days after the Chag, Kedei Sheyiga Yagia Achron Shabi Yisrael V'Nahar Paras. Enough time for any Jews who might have come for Aliyah L'Regel, who might have come up to Yerushalayim for the festival, enough time for them to reach the Euphrates River, meaning the people who typically came from the farthest distance away, from whom rain would be very bad. And we know that rain is bad, aside from common sense, because of something on Yom Kippur. We know that rain is very bad for people who are traveling. I want to see, does anybody know, how do we know that rain is bad for people who are traveling? Based upon something in the tefillah of Yom Kippur. This is really a question for Rabbi Lookstein. He's thinking now. Rabbi Lookstein, you're muted. He's got the answer, I'm sure. He got it.
That's
correct. One of the things that Kohen Gadol would say is, Yiratzom shelo yavo lefanecha tfilas ovrei drachim. Where everybody else is asking for rain, the people who are traveling on the highways, they were the ones who would daven for not for rain. So we are asked, Kohen Gadol says, Kadosh Baruch Hu, please don't listen to the tefillah of the wayfarers. So here, the halacha actually reflects the concern.
Rabbi Weider?
Yes.
I think it was actually the rain that caused the limestone caves to collapse.
Well, no, I agree that wasn't for travelers. That's correct. That wasn't the request to stop their tefillos. That was a request to protect them. But the part about Yiratzon Shel Yikanes Lefanecha Tefillos Avidrachim, that's people who were travelers. So the halacha here reflects the idea that Chazal were sensitive to the fact that there are people traveling back from Aliyah L'Regel, and therefore we don't start asking for the rain until they normally would have had enough time to get back home. The Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Lazar, halacha k'Rabban Gamliel. Rabbi Lazar Paskins says, we pass like Rabban Gamliel, it's the seventh of Macheshvan. That, in fact, is the practice in Eretz Yisrael. Tanya, Hananya Omer uvagola atshishim etkufa. Hananya was a Babylonian Amora. I have a personal theory about Hananya. There's one famous position of Hananya that many of us are all very, very grateful for, as Ashkenazim. Sfardim are not so grateful because they don't paskin like him. The very important sheet of Hananya is that he is very lenient in terms of leaving stuff on the blech before Shabbos. Hananya believes that once the food reaches the stage, I think, of Macho Ben Drusai, being somewhat edible, you don't even need for the stove to be Garo Fakatam. There are lots of kulas that come from Hananya. And one of the very interesting things, if you learn the third parak of Shabbos, is that the simple reading of the Mishnah is against the opinion of Hananya, and yet the Gemara, the Bavli, stands on its head to try to defend the position, which when I taught this many, many years ago, in Yeshiva, I thought that perhaps the reason was that Hananya, as a Babylonian Tana, reflected Babylonian Minhag, and that's why the Bavli is standing on its head, bending over backwards, in order to defend that particular Shita with regards to Shehi and Chazarav, leaving stuff on, putting stuff back on the blech on Shabbos. So here Hananya, not surprisingly, is speaking from the perspective of Bnei Bavel. So he says, Bagola, which really means Bavel, so it is Ad Shishim B'Tkufa. Until 60 days after the tekufa. So 60 days after the tekufa refers to tekufas tamuz. Tekufas tamuz is what is known as the autumnal equinox. So we are supposed to start saying the same talmud lebracha 60 days after the autumnal equinox. So the autumnal equinox is around September 21st, maybe September 22nd. So 60 days after September 21st is about November 19th. So of course, you're all looking at me and wondering, not what it says in the Siddur. Right? In the Siddur, it says December 4th or 5th currently. Yeah. If you look back in the old Siddurim, David, it's not fair to you, but did you do Sanhedrin with me?
Oh, wow. Now I'm really embarrassed.
I think I did Kiddush HaChodesh back then, but it's really not fair.
Yeah.
What's that?
I don't think it
wasn't centered. If it were, it was 16 years ago or something like that. So you get a pass on that. When you study Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh, so you discover something very interesting, that there are two ways of calculating the solar seasons in the halachic system. I mean, two different opinions. One is known as Tekufa Shmuel, that the solar year is exactly 365 and a quarter days, and hence the amount of time between each tekufa, meaning from vernal equinox to summer solstice to autumnal equinox to winter solstice and so on, is going to be, I think, 7.5 hours offset, because 365 days, how does that work? 364 is an exact number of... It would divide equally by four, and then you're left with a day and a half, 30 hours, and a quarter of that is 7.5 hours. So if you know when the Tekufa of Nisan is, when you know when the vernal equinox is, 7.5 late hours in the same day of the week is going to be, it's actually 364 divided by 7. Evil number of weeks, an extra 30 hours. So if I know that, if right now at 9:30 on Sunday morning was the vernal equinox, so you can add 7.5 hours and you get to something like 5 o'clock in the afternoon on a Sunday will be the next one. Now, you might recognize Shmuel's number 365 and a quarter because, A, we like to think of that popularly. That's also what's known as the Julian calendar. However, the problem, of course, with that is that number is not accurate. So in our tradition, that's called Tekufa Shmuel. That's actually in the Gemara in Eruvin. There is no Gemara. There's just a tradition from the Gaonim that there's another Tekufa called Tekufa Sravada. According to Tekufa Sravada, the actual time of the actual length of the solar year is 365 days, 5 hours, and about 56 or so minutes. That is a totally artificial number, and that number was contrived in order to make the metonic cycle be perfect. The metonic cycle is the cycle that you add 7 leap months in 19 years, and we have 7 leap years in 19 years, and then the solar and the lunar years come into they come together exactly, except for that they don't, because if you do the calculation using the Julian calendar, it's off by a little bit, and that accumulation adds up over time. But this number, this Tekufas Rav Ada, this 365, 5 hours and 55 or 56 minutes, was a number rigged so that they would come out exactly the same. That number also happens to be too long. The actual solar year is 365 days, 5 hours, and about 48 minutes and 45 seconds approximately. It is changing ever so slightly over time. And therefore, the Pope Gregory obviously recognized the problem, and he came along in, I think, the 17th century, it was? And they basically added something like 11 days. It caused riots. The history of it's very, very interesting. But what that meant is from the time they were calculating, we were calculating, or somebody was calculating the seasons, so over 1,600 years, the things had shifted, had been off by about 11 years. And you know when the vernal equinox is or the solstice, whatever you want, using the stars, which, of course, in itself is complicated because there is a precession of the equinoxes, but that's a separate problem. But the bottom line is that apparently some people here are not from Shevet Yisachar. The people in the Shevet Yisachar are Yodei Bina La'itim. They know how to calculate Tekufas and Mazalos. But anyway, so because of that difference in time, they had to add in 11 days, and we have since adopted the Gregorian calendar. However, note, by the way, in Russia, I forget when the revolution was. It was either in October or November on our calendar, and they call it the other one, because the Eastern Church did not adopt Pope Gregory's calendar until after, you know, it didn't come into Russia until after the revolution in 1917-18, and therefore they call it the something revolution, and we have it as the other month. Now, the solution to the problem of the Saint Talamat al-Avracha is that for some reason this particular issue we're still following the Julian calendar. So it's not just 11 days. Over the last 3-4 centuries, it has continued to drift. Some people here might remember, Rabbi Lichtenstein, you might remember perhaps Siddurim from when you were a little bit younger, that would say that the Saint Talamat al-Avracha, you begin to recite it either December 3rd or December 4th. And if there had been printed Siddurim with the date 100 or so years earlier, it would have said December 2nd, December 3rd. But you're working your way back, and the reason why we're off by 13, 14 days is because the calculation of the Saint Talamat al-Avracha is still stuck on the Julian calendar. I once asked Rav Schechter, I said, Rebbe, you know, what should we do? We know that this is off. Should we start saying the Saint Talamat al-Avracha earlier? So he smiled at me. So first he told me that Rav Moshe has a tshuva about this, but it's understandable why Rav Moshe wrote what he did. Rav Moshe dismissed the issue. Some person asked Rav Moshe about the question. Rav Moshe said, we're not sure about anything, because even when the Rambam wasn't sure, and he quotes two opinions about the solar year, and the Rambam calls one of them is Karov Elo Emes, and so even the Rambam wasn't sure. Now, the truth is, I don't think Rav Moshe actually understood what the Rambam was saying. When the Rambam first quotes Tekufa Shmuel, 365 and a quarter, And then he redoes the calculations with Tkufas Rav Ada, which is a little 5 minutes shorter. The Rambam knew that number was also wrong. When he says that it was Karov Ela Emes, is that it was closer to the accurate number than Shmuel's number. But the Rambam fully understood, because he knew exactly, he knew how to tell when the equinox was. Anyway, so I asked Rashef, I said, so Rebbe, what should we do? So he smiled at me and said, and that's the segue into this our discussion this morning, he said, Rav Chaim used to say, V'sein Talmud Kalvarcha all year round in Shomei Tefillah. Which meant that whenever you're not certain as to whether you should be saying the same Talmud Kalvarcha, because the Gemara lays down one time period for Eretz Yisrael, one time period for Bavel, but other lands may have different rain schedules and have different needs. And I imagine if you live in the southern hemisphere, I've never researched this, things are probably almost the exact opposite. So the assumption was you say it in Shomei Tefillah. So there's an origin for this. To this idea, but I wanted to sort of explore this.
He said one in one and one in the other. Is that what?
I assume that all year round he said the same. I assume that according to that account, he started saying the same Talmud Lavracha 60 days after the Tekufa in Europe, and he said it until Pesach, and then the rest of the year he said the same Talmud Lavracha in Shomei Tefillah. Right. So if you needed to have said it, you're Yotzei. You know, but he's not putting it in Barei Cholenu, because in case you're not supposed to say the same Talmud Tavracha, then you have to go back. In other words, we assume, forgetting about when you're supposed to say it, when you're not supposed to say it, the specifics, that if you recite the same Talmud Tavracha when you're not supposed to, we'll see, hopefully next week, the Yerushalmi, that Tosis quote says you have to go back because it's a klala, because you're asking for rain when rain is a bad thing. And if you leave it out when you're supposed to say it, you also have to repeat. So he said the same Talmud Tavracha when the standard, when the Shulchan Aruch says you say it, and then the rest of the year, I assume that's what he said, the same Talmud Tavracha in Shomei Tefillah. So he left it out in Barech Aleinu, so you can't say I said it when I shouldn't have said it, but if he was supposed to say it, it turns out he said it in Shomei Tefillah anyway.
He hedged his bets.
Okay, so the question is, the Gemara talks about Eretz Yisrael, and clearly it corresponds to their rainy season when they need rain. And then Hananya talks about what is Bavel, and I don't know what the agriculture is in Iraq, but I assume they understood exactly what they were talking about. Now the Gemara in Tainus, later, the second source says, Sholchu le b'nei Ninveh l'Rebbe, the people of Ninveh, which is in Assyria, which is to the north of Eretz Yisrael, kigon anan, the atfilu b'tkufas tambus be'inan mitra. We who need rain even during the summer months. Hechi David, what should we do? Ki yechidim daminim o kerabim daminim. Are we like individuals? Ki yechidim daminim, like an individual happens to need rain. I need rain for whatever reason. I have an unusual field. Nobody else needs rain. So then I ask for rain in Shomei Atfila. Oh, should we see ourselves in Ninveh as kirabim daminan? We are like a community, tzibur, a community, ubebirkas hashanim, and we recite it in Barech Aleinu. So shlach lehu, he sent back to them, Rebbe sent back, ki yechidim damisu. You are like individuals, not you're not treated as a collective, uveshomei atzvila, meaning your one city doesn't count. Meisevei, the Gemara asks, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda the Tana said, Emasai, When do we follow the schedule of asking for rain on the seventh day of Mar Cheshvan? Bisman shehashanim kitikram beYisrael shurian alad basim. When all the years are arranged properly, and when the Jewish people are living in Eretz Yisrael. Avol bisman hazeh hakol lefi hashanim hakol lefi hamakomas hakol lefi hazman. Today, and I presume partially because there's no aliyah leregel, it all depends upon the year, the place, and the time. So Omar, so you see that in fact you do have variation. You don't do it just necessarily based upon this Eretz Yisrael, this bubble, there's nothing else. So Omar Lane, the Gemara responds in defense, Masnisan Ramis Alea, the Rebbe, you're asking a question against Rebbe from Abraisa. Rebbe Tana Hu Palak, Rebbe's a Tana, he's entitled to argue. He disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says that you would do it in Birkas Hashanim, but Rebbe disagreed with that. So the Gemara asks, finally, my Havei Allah, what was the conclusion? Do you follow Rebbe? Do you follow Rabbi Yehuda? Rav Nachman Amar Bebirkas Hashanah. Rav Nachman says the people of Ninveh would say same Talmud Tavracha during the summer in Birkas Hashanah. Rav Sheshes Amar No, B'Shomei Atfila, like Rebbe. that if you are different than the norm, if you're different than Eretz Yisrael, you're different than Bavel, then you just say it in Shomei Atfilah. The Hilchasa b'Shomei Atfilah. So the Psak is b'Shomei Atfilah. So now that we come to America, I don't know when, we probably need rain. I don't know, it doesn't feel like we need rain in the Northeast because we get rain regularly, but certainly many parts of this country desperately need rain and probably could use rain during the summer as well. So the question is, what would the halacha be there? If you, let's say you live in, I don't know, Arizona or New Mexico, or maybe even California. So when would you say the same Talmud al Avracha? So the practice, the actual practice is very clear, but we're going to talk about it a little bit. People cite the same Talmud al Avracha starting on December 4th, and they finish Pesach. That's what people do. Although, according to the Shulchan Aruch, they certainly should add the same Talmud al Avracha. If you live in California now, or you live in Arizona or New Mexico, you should, maybe Texas too, you should most definitely be reciting the same Talmud al Avracha in Shomei Atfilah. I don't think there's a question about that. I mean, unless I'm wrong about the reality, but I'm pretty sure they are very much in need of rain.
But even in Israel sometimes, right, during the summer when there's the droughts.
So the same issue would hold there as well. You should say it in Shomei Atfilah there. Right, that would be the appropriate practice. But the question arises, okay, so is that really true? Let's just say the Gemara Paskins like Rebbe, which means Anshei Ninveh were not supposed to say the same Talmud al Avracha and Berachas Hashanah. They had to say it in Shomei Atfilah. But the question is, does that really hold in every case? So the Rambam in his commentary on the Mishnah writes, V'halocha k'Rabban Gamliel, it's the third source. But v'chol zeh be'eretz Yisrael, v'chol shehu domeh lo. It's only in Eretz Yisrael and any places which are climactically similar. V'chol chen koma sheyomar sheyomer hola bizmane hatanios. Everything that you'll see later in the Mishnayos, in the Gemara about fasting for rain, eino ela be'eretz Yisrael v'chol makom she'aviro karov la'avira. Anywhere where the climate is the same as in Eretz Yisrael. Aval bishar ha'aratzos, in all other lands, hare tia hasheela bizman hara'ui l'gshamim bi'oso ha'makom. You should be saying the same talamat al-avracha in Birkas Hashanim, whatever the needs of that place are. V'arei oso hazman ki'ilu hu shiva b'mar cheshvan. That time, if in America the proper time were July 3rd, that would be like Zion Mar Cheshvan. V'im nis'achru ha'gishamim achre oso hazman l'fiyach hazmanim elu hamurim kan. If there was a delay in the rain in the United States after July 3rd, the same amount of time that the Mishnayos speak about, what if the rain is this late? When do you fast? How many fasts do you have? What's the nature of the fasts? The same thing would hold in that land. Harei elu misanim k'moshe nis'kan. They fast the same way. In other words, if the rain hasn't come and it's 2 weeks after the deadline, then if that's when you fast in Eretz Yisrael, you do the same thing in every other place, just depending on what the deadline is. Lefi sheyesh aratzo she'en zman ha'gesham emaskel ela minisan. There are lands in which the rainy season doesn't start until Nisan. V'yesh aratzo she'bemar cheshvan yevem kayetz. There are places where in Mar Cheshvan, you're talking about October, November, is like summer. V'en ha'gesham embo levracha ela ma'abedu mashbed. And rain at that time would not be a blessing, but rather destructive. How can those people ask for rain in Mar Cheshvan? You get up in a place where rain is not a good thing, and you're asking God the same Talmud al Avracha. The Rambam says it's sheker. So you read the Rambam, and it really sounds as if you fence upon the place. So what do you do with the Gemara that spoke about Anshei Ninveh? And the Gemara does clearly state at the end, V'hilchasa k'rav sheshes, V'hilchasa b'shamei atzfilah, that you don't add in Birkas Hashanim. But to make matters even more complicated, if you look now at the next source, which is the Rambam in the Mishnah Torah, how does he codify it? So he starts in Perek Beis Halacha Tesayin stating, Mishiva yamim b'mar cheshvan, shoalim es hagishamim b'birkas shanim, Kolzman Shemazkir Hageshem. So in Eretz Yisrael, you start asking for rain on the 7th of Mar Cheshvan, and you ask as long as you're being maskim, meaning till Pesach. You stop Mashiv Ruch Mar Hageshem and the same Talmud Avracha at the same time. Bamedzvar Mamurim Beretz Yisrael. This is true in Eretz Yisrael. Aval b'shin or, which is Bavel, uve Surya, Syria, uve Mitzrayim in Egypt, uve Mikomos hasmuchos le'elu v'hadomin lahem, and in places that are near these countries and that are similar to them, presumably similar in climate, shoal mesagishamim biyom shishim achar tkufas tishrei. You do she'ela 60 days afterwards. Then he says, and we're going to come back to that, this last part. Mikomo shein srichem legshamim bimos hachama, kigon iye hayam harachokim. Places that require rain during the summer months, like the faraway isles, shoal mesagishamim be'eshein srichem lahem b'shomea tfila. They ask for rain during Shomea Tfila. The rest we don't have to talk about. It's Yom Tov Sheni when you stop asking, when you start, fine. So let me ask you a question. The Rambam clearly paskins like the Gemara of Anshei Ninveh, right? He says that places people live away in the faraway isles, they ask in Shomea Tfila. So how does this cohere with the Rambam, what the Rambam wrote in the Perush commentary on the Mishnayos? So when I read the Rambam, I wasn't sure. The commentators on the Rambam don't really say anything. But when I went to prepare a source that I knew I needed to prepare for Shir, which was the Rush, I discovered that what I thought the Rambam meant was what the Rush actually writes in his Tshuva. I suspect what will happen today, I want to really, it's going to take some time, maybe we'll hopefully get started today, but we'll finish today. I want to read the Tshuva of Rush with you because I think you will enjoy it very much. From a historical perspective, not just halachic one. Larry?
Well, logistically, in Baruch Aleinu, if you're in one of these other places, so you say the same bracha there and the same halacha.
I'm saying Matal Bracha and Shemet Tfila, yes. Yes, so the actual minhag, even if it might not seem right, is that if you're in the United States and this is the rainy season where typically, but it's not between December 4th and Pesach, you say the same bracha in Birkas Hashanim, and then you say the same Talamath of the Bracha in the middle of Shomei Atfila. Yes. So I want to think again about what the Rambam said. What does the Rambam believe about Spain? Well, I don't know when the rains come in Spain, but based upon what the Rush says, they needed rain earlier than Eretz Yisrael, and they needed rain later than Eretz Yisrael. In other words, they needed rain after Pesach, and they needed rain from the beginning of Tishrei. So what would the Rambam say about Spain? Okay, so one could easily read the Rambam that way, but I think if you read the first halacha carefully, there is something there that would suggest that might not be correct, and this is claimed by the Rush. I thought about this, and maybe I thought about it because I knew there already was an opinion of the Rush, and maybe if I didn't know of the Rush's opinion, I would have just said, oh yeah, the Rambam is just quoting the Gemara straight. But read the Rambam again in the first halacha. He says, "Bamed the Rambamur Be'eretz Yisrael." Aval b'shinar of Assyria v'Mitzrayim v'mekomas hasmuchos le'elu v'adom lahem shol mesag shamen b'yam shishim achar tkufas tishrei. Why does the Rambam have to say, list a series of places, and then say v'chol hadom in lahem? Why doesn't he just say, aval b'chutz la'aretz, you ask for rain 60 days after the kufa? And so, I think that there are actually two possibilities, but the one that I think the Rush suggests is the more likely one. The possibility that I think to be not likely is that, and you could see this if you read the Rambam's commentary on the Mishnah that we read, again, if you read it and think about it carefully, it might be that the Rambam believes that there are only two tracks in the Takana. There's Zayin Mar Cheshvan, and there is 60 days after the Tkufa. Eretz Yisrael, and any climates that are similar to Eretz Yisrael, or most similar to Eretz Yisrael, follow Zayin Mar Cheshvan. Any climates that are like Bavel, like Shinar, such as Surya and Mitzrayim, and anything similar, do 60 days afterwards. And that's it. You have to fall into one category or the other. And if your land generally, you know, has an exception to that rule, it doesn't matter. You only ask in Shomei Tefillah. That is one way of reading the Rambam. The other way, which is not so different, but it's obviously meaningful, practically different, is that the Rambam believes that any land which has a distinctive climate, the request for rain has to follow that climate. Spain would follow the norms in Spain. France would follow the norms in France. Then what do you do with the story of Ninde and the Rambam in the second halacha? So what the Rush says is, if you have one little locale that has an unusual pattern or unusual need, they do not change the same kalamata practice to put it in Birkas Hashanim. But once you're dealing with an entire region or an entire land, so the Rush says, then that land follows its normal rain patterns. Let's take a look first at the Rush in his comments on Tainus. Here he says it very briefly. He says, "V'tamea ani," this is the fifth source. "Lama anu noagim kibnei gola baha." Why do we follow Bavel 60 days after the Tekufa? "Nihi dehashas shalanu bavli." You'll say, we follow the Talmud Bavli. And the Talmud Bavli said that in Bavel, we start 60 days after the Tekufa. The Rush says, "Mikomakom davar hatalui ba'aretz." Something that's dependent upon the geography. "In Bavel hoisa metzulas mayim v'lo yutzrichos lamayim." If Bavel happened to be, you know, all the rivers of irrigation, and they didn't need rain so much, "Kol ha'aratzos trichim lamayim b'mar cheshvan laman achar she'ela shishon l'tkufa." Why would we delay asking for rain if we need rain now? Bavel didn't need rain. Yes, we follow Bavel, we follow the Bavli. That's on halachic matters, not on climactic matters. "V'hadavar yadua. Im lo haya matar yored at shishim l'tkufa." Where we live, if the rain didn't come down till December 4th, till 60 days after the equinox, haya hazera aved, everything would be lost. "V'lama lo navi k'mishnah senu." Why don't we follow the Mishnah? Now, here he's proposing following the Mishnah to do Eretz Yisrael, but we'll see in his tshuva, he really goes further. "U'bripavansya ra'isi shahayu shol mesag shamed mar cheshvan v'yoshar me'od be'enai." So the Rush, as you see in the tshuva, where did the Rush live? Where was the Rush born?
Originally Germany.
Germany.
Spain.
Yes. But you see, in order to get from Germany to Spain, if Lufthansa is not flying, you have to go through France. And in order to go through France, you also have to go through southern France. And so the Rush traveled through Provence for a time on his way to Spain. And he talks about what he saw the practice there and what he thought they should do. And we'll see in the tshuva. We'll see in the tshuva, but I'm saving the tshuva. It'll probably be for next week.
This is Baruch Helene we're talking about now.
Yes, yes. He's talking about, real, not this fake thing in
right.
Shomei Atzvila.
Right.
So the Rush writes very, very short form here. I want to read, I don't know if we'll get to it now. I want to read, and just give you sort of a way of halachic methodology. I want you to first see it in the later sources when the Rush is analyzed. The tour, the Rush's son, who wrote the four halakim of the Torah on which our Shulchan Aruch is based. The Torah had the same four sections, Or Chaim, Yoredeya, Eben Ezer, Chosha Mishpat, Eben Ezer, and Mechaber, Rav Yosef Kaur, wrote his commentary, the Beis Yosef, on that, and that's the order of the Shulchan Aruch. So the Torah just mentions his father's opinion here. He doesn't, I think, cite any explicit dissenting opinion, I'm not sure. And he doesn't say what you should do. He just mentions this quotation from his father in the Perush of the Rush on the Gemara. The earliest commentary we have on the Torah, the Mari Abuhav, who died a year after the expulsion from Spain, we have his commentary on the Torah in Orach Chaim, Rav Yitzchak Abuhav. So he writes, Harash Kasav B'tshuva Sheila. The Rush wrote in a responsa, which is much longer than the three lines we just read in the Rush. Shemevi Mikan HaMechaber, that the Torah is referring to here. Heich Kasvua Keneged Chachmei Talitala HaMa'ara Medavar. In, I don't know what, is that, how do you pronounce that? What's the Spanish name?
Tortola.
So the Rush argued them. He had a big fight with them. He once did something. You know, if you're a rabbi and you come into town, you have to be careful when you change the practice, because you might stir up a hornet's nest. So when we get to the tshuva, you have to wait to see what the story was. So he had to write a whole response. V'hoya siba l'shehaka lo yishmu b'kola. And because of this whole error, because of the whole controversy, the people didn't want to listen. V'amar b'sof ha-she'ela shafilu shehu yachid. Even though he's an individual, only an individual asking, me'achar shezeh ha-davar tzorchei rabim. Since this was really needs of the community, the rain, he really could have insisted upon doing it. He didn't want to create machlokas. He didn't want to have, a schism. Now, the Mari Abuhav writes the following. Based upon the fact that the Rush was convinced he was right, he says, let's say you're in Spain, and you're supposed to add, really you need rain at this particular time, always in Spain. If you made a mistake, and you said the same time, let's say, we'll see, after Pesach, the Rush thought that they should keep asking after Pesach, they still need a rain in Spain at that time. If you, by mistake, you start Chol HaMoed, we know this all happens, right? You get the Motzei Yom Tov Rishon, and you're supposed to stop saying the same Talmud Tov Racha, but our habits, you know, our Lashon Limudim carries us along. That is correct. So there are three things that you could forget that make you go back, and one which doesn't, right? The Olive Yavo, continue to say Masha Rechmer, stop saying the Merda Geshem, and the same Bracha. And Atachan on Tana, which you don't have to go back for. So I think that's not as bad as Motzei Rosh Hashanah, though, in my opinion. Okay, so the Mari Abuhav says that if an individual made a mistake, according to him, if you were in Spain and the first night of Chol HaMoed, Motzei Yom Tov, you said V'sein Talmud Tov Racha, you don't go back. So he says, Shelo Yachzor Me'achar She'emes Nire K'divrei HaRosh. It appears the Rush is correct. Really, each individual should do it, except for he didn't want to create machlokas. If you did it, there really is no problem here. He thinks you shouldn't have to go back. The Beis Yosef, writing 50 years, 60 years later, sees it differently. And what's interesting is, Beis Yosef is aware, and he doesn't contest, the Rush's reading of the Rambam. So the Rush and the Rambam, and apparently the Ran as well, all seem to think the same opinion, which is that an entire geography follows its own local needs. But the Beis Yosef writes, L'fi hanias da'iti hayanireh, shekevan shelo niskavu divrei harush, because the Rush's opinion was not accepted. And the Minhag HaOlam is not that way, which is true. I don't think anybody can test that.
Quick question. Does the Rambam say that the places that need rain earlier can start saying it earlier in Berkat HaShanim?
No. He never says it explicitly. But if the Rambam, if you read the first Rambam as stating that the fact pattern of Bavel follows, with a particular climate, Chol Adom lo follows that, then it means it's not Eretz Yisrael versus Chutz Laretz, immediately. And then the only question, we presented two options. You could say the Rambam believes there are only two paradigms, either Eretz Yisrael or Bavel, and you pick which one you want, but you have to stick with that, and any other time you only do in Shema Tefillah. Or the way the Rush read it, and I think the more logical one, and based upon what his language in Peirush HaMishnah is, to ask for rain when you don't need it, essentially, is sheker. So it's hard to understand why the Rambam would say in Spain, if its climate differs from both Eretz Yisrael and Babel, that you have to follow Eretz Yisrael and Babel. Right? That doesn't make, based upon what he writes in the Peirush HaMishnayos, unless you assume that he changed his mind when he wrote the Mishneh Torah, it's hard to think other than what the Rush said. That even if it means starting earlier, starting later, finishing earlier, finishing later, right? If the concern is that it's nirek sheker, then it really shouldn't matter. It really shouldn't matter whether it's earlier or later, starting or finishing. If you read the Rambam in Mishnah Torah, what I think is carefully the first halacha, and you read it in light of what he wrote already in his Peirush HaMishnayos, I would be inclined to think that the Rambam's position is that of the Rush. Certainly it's the way the Rush read it.
So don't you think there could be a difference between asking for rain when you don't need it or not asking for rain when you do need it?
So yes and no. You're right. In one sense, you're correct. That, halachically speaking, when you're mechuyif to ask and you don't, you have to go back. And when you're mechuyif to not ask, you also have to go back. And it's that way that it makes no sense. The only distinction you could make is that when you say v'sein talamat alavracha when you're not supposed to, that's nira kisheker. As opposed to if you just said v'sein bracha when you were supposed to say v'sein talamat alavracha, that's not nira kisheker because you didn't say anything.
But either way, you have to go back.
Well, no, for whom, when? For the Rambam?
Yeah, well,
In other words, the answer would be, if you wanted to argue with me that the Rambam only modified, you know, only sort of changed the practice in a case, the Rambam would, you could make the following argument, the Rambam, even though I don't think it's the case. The Rambam would say that if you do not need rain in your land at this time, even though we only have two schedules, Bavel and Eretz Yisrael, then the Rambam would say you cannot ask for rain because that's sheker. You're saying to God the same talmud of bracha. At the same time, the Rambam, I don't think he does. The Rambam could say, but if you're in a place where you need rain, but neither in Eretz Yisrael nor in Bavel, you don't fit either paradigm, there you could say the Rambam would say you don't ask for rain, except for in Shemei Tfila, because it's not nirek hasheker. When you say the same bracha, when you should be saying the same talamat al bracha, it's not nirek hasheker, it's just you're not doing what you're supposed to do. Whereas when you say the same talamat al bracha at a time when rain would be a curse, it appears like you're speaking sheker because you don't really mean it. How could you possibly be asking for God for rain that would be destructive? I don't think the Rambam really would make such a distinction. I think once, if you read the Rambam, if you're willing to concede that you should read the Rambam in the Mishnah Torah, in light of what he says in the commentary, in the Perush on the Mishnah, I think that it makes no difference whether, in other words, the Rambam would then say, like the Rush, which is, you have to follow whatever the geography, the climate of the particular land in which you find yourself is. Whether to do it differently from Eretz Yisrael Bavel by adding the same Talmud of Bracha, or by doing it differently by omitting it.
It's just hard because it's not what the Gemara says.
So, no, the Rush's argument is that Nineveh, that's only when it's a tiny location, it's one city. But if it's an entire land, the Rush says, then that's not what the Gemara was talking about. That's not what Rebbe was talking about. That is the point of departure, right? That's the point of departure. Do you see the question from Anshei Nineveh as being, does Nineveh represent the very narrow, or does it represent something broader?
It seems like you create chaos, though. You have to know what's going on, whether you need the rain, whether you not need the rain, and it changes all the time.
Well, no. I would say that generally speaking, you live in a country, the country has a climate. We're a little divorced from it, because if you ask us, if we live in the city or in suburbia, like, do we have any idea when the farmers actually need rain? And I think the answer, most of us have no idea.
Right, but we now understand and appreciate when things, we don't have things.
No, understood, I would agree. The question is, to get the answer to this question, and again, it depends probably where in the United States, if you want to go, you got to ask your farmers in New York and New Jersey and go to the Great Plains and ask them, when do you need rain? What's that?
Russia,
whatever the rain is. Well, I think you would pray for rain in your land, not because somebody's importing the grain, right. But the point is that the first thing you have to find out is what are our needs particularly here. But I think that it is very, very plausible that the Rambam would agree with the Rush. If the Rush is reading the Rambam, to me seems, I don't want to say compelling, but persuasive.
Maybe I'm taking the Rush too literally, but the Rush to me seems like he's just saying, you don't need to go to Shish and Batkufa in areas in the Gola that where the seeds need rain starting in Mar Cheshvan. There you can revert to Eretz Yisrael.
I was careful. I said that you can't see it from here, but you can see in the Tshuva, because what he's going to say in the Tshuva is when he came to Spain, apparently there was a terrible drought and Pesach had passed, and he said, yeah, they should be saying the same Talmud al Bracha, and he argued that that's when they normally need the rains in Spain. So that's going beyond the Eretz Yisrael Bavel paradigm. I agree with you that based upon what he wrote on his Perush on the Gemara, and as we've seen so far, you wouldn't necessarily know it means going beyond Eretz Yisrael. But what he says in the Tshuva, I think, makes it clear. So the Beis Yosef says, again, I'll start reading again the second source from the bottom. V'lefi ani es dait on the first page. Hayanira shekeven shalom niskavlu divrei harosh. V'chol ha'olam onagu kein. Therefore, have le sugyon da alma de lo kaharash. Sugyon da alma is a technical expression. It literally means the mahalach of the olam. It means the accepted practice. De lo kaharash, vihilka hatoel vishoal geshem. If someone made an error and asked for geshem, let's say the first night of Chol HaMoed, when they weren't supposed to, since we don't hold like the Rush, tzarech lachzor afilu be'eret shekula bechlala tzricha geshem b'mos hachama. Even a land in which the entirety, that's what he's emphasizing, not Nineveh, which is one city, but an entire land requires it, even in such a place, he thinks that you have to go back. Umikomakom, Kevan Shaharav, Sipek Alenu Es Hadavar, because the Rush really created a bona fide Safe, Mi Yokel Rosho Kenegdo, who can be lenient against the opinion of the Rush? Velochain Ra'ui Latzes Midei Safek, Velachsor Ulaspalo Bitaras Nedava. So the Beis Yosef says you should go daven, finish your Shmon Esrei, well, obviously you did already, and go back and daven another Tvila as a Tvilas Nedava. Uchamosha Kosav, Ravinu Yonah, Rabbi Tob and Mincha B'Shabbos. All right, we'll eventually, I don't know if we dealt with that yet, we will eventually deal with that. Unrelated to our topic. So that is the opinion of the Beis Yosef, and that is what he quotes in the Shulchan Aruch. We'll read it in a moment. The work of the Rabbah on the tour was the Darkei Moshe, and the Darkei Moshe is a shorter version than the Beis Yosef of a commentary for a couple of reasons. It was a little shorter when he started, and before he finished it, the Beis Yosef was published, and it came as a big shock to him. And he, I don't know if that led for him to shorten it some. And then the editors also shortened the Darkei Moshe. So we have two Darkei Moshes. The one that was printed historically in most tours, which is the Darkei Moshe HaKatzar, which often leaves out important stuff. And then they've republished, and now the fancy Turim have the Darkei Moshe Aruch, the fuller version. It's still much shorter than the Beis Yosef. But here the Darkei Moshe writes, V'li nira de'ein l'sapik b'davar klal, el adivrei mahari abuhav d'chonim b'taimam, the Darkei Moshe, the Ramah says, no. The Rush is correct, and we should rely upon at least the Maria Buhav, the Ein Lachzira. Uchadayim Harosh Varam Varan Lismo Chaleim B'Diavet. You can rely upon these three Rishonim to B'Diavet to follow this position. The truth is, the only Rishon that I'm aware of, and I didn't see it inside, but it's in Shulchan Aruch inside. The only Rishon who explicitly, I think, disagrees is the Trumas Hadeshan, is Rabbi Yisrael Isserlin. So the Darkei Moshe says that we should rely upon them after the fact. Ukvar kasafti leil dehem hischim ul devrei harash. Okay. And if you look in Shulchan Aruch then, on a second sheet, Yechidim hatzrichem lamatar bimos hachama, and that is our psak. At the end of the day, even if the Rush is right, we don't lechatchila add in Saint Talamata Levracha if it's not between December 4th and Pesach. We don't add it in Birkas Hashanim. We add it in Shomei Atfila. Vafilu ir gedola kininve. Oh, eretz achas kula kemo svarag bichlala. Even if it's an entire land, not just one city. Oh, Ashkenaz bechlala, all of Ashkenaz, all of Christian Europe, or Germany. Ki yechidim damu b'shamei atfila. They are like private individuals who need rain, not the community. They don't add in Birkas Hashanim. Umihu, im be'eretz achas kula atzrichem mata b'mos hachama. Ta'a b'yachad v'sha'a mata b'birkas Hashanim. If someone made such a mistake, the Ramah adds in, of course, the Mechaber would not have said this, im rotza. Chozer u'mispal al tfil b'toras nedava v'lo she'ela b'birkas Hashanim. You should repeat without doing she'ela in Birkas Hashanim. But again, the Ramah chimes in, Aval eina mechuyev lachzor klal. You don't have to go back at all. Really, the Ramah says, you did it already, you finished your Shmon Esrei, move on. So that, in fact, is our psak halacha. There is that. I don't think that issue really is disputed. So if there's a drought,
and you make a
mistake. So I think according to, that's an interesting question. See, right now, all they've spoken about is here. All they've spoken about is when a land, generally speaking, needs rain. In other words, that's its agricultural pattern. But I think from the tshuva of the Rush, it would appear even if it is a situation specific. I believe so. We'll read the tshuva. I'm going to start just the opening paragraph now, which gives you the background, the story, and then we'll take a look next week at the tshuva.
What's the halacha? Just one more time.
Bottom line is, you live in America?
Yeah.
60 days after the Kufa until Pesach.
Right. So let's say you need rain. Let's say you live in Arizona. You want rain early.
We still only lechatchila doing Shomei Atvila. Larry's question is,
let's say if you forget it.
Bidiyeved.
You ask for a hintal during Birkas Hashanim, then what happens?
Right. Bidiyeved, if you lived in Arizona and Arizona were always a place that needed rain
right.
during July, then
and
that would be the Ramah, that if you did it bidiyeved, you don't go back.
Right.
But the question is,
l'chatchila
you shouldn't. But let's say there's a drought which is not normal. It happens to come. Normally you don't need, right? That's Larry's question. And I think from the Rush, it really sounds a little bit like you might also not go back. Because the Rush might have assumed there also, but I'm not sure. So we'll get to read the rest of the Tshuva next week. I want to read just the opening part. You get to see kind of the history here. Yes.
It's a national issue.
Yes. So he says you're not supposed to say it in Berachas Hashanim, but if you did by mistake, then you should daven a tefillas nedava. And the Rama says, don't need to do anything. It's just a repetition of their positions from the Beis Yosef and Darkei Moshe, which is usually what happens.
So why is that the halacha, though? Why is it the halacha in Arizona? You don't say Berachas Hashanim, you don't say the same talk, Matzah Rechem, Berachas Hashanim, Lechat Chila. If the Rambam and the Rush both say, both Paschina, who is Beis Yosef going like?
So the aside from the Truma Sadeshin, and possibly the silence of a number of Rishonim, the silence of the Rif, more significantly, Puchazi Mayama Devar. Right, as soon as there's a Shita, and that's and there is the Trumas Adeshen, and a lot, not just Trumas Adeshen, the Russia's contemporaries, most in Spain, totally disagreed with them. They went nuts. So, and that was the Minhag. The key driving force is the Minhag. Right? Even apropos to my shir yesterday, you know, about the question of abortion, is people can like whatever position you like, but there is, you know, I think, in that case, there's become a clearly established minhag, which was different than the minhag of Pesach in the previous generation. And that's just the way it is. You can like it or not like it. So, yes, the Rush's position makes much more sense, but too many Jews never followed it, and therefore... Again... That's where the Rush has a chiddush. I agree.
The Gemara just sums it up. Hilchos HaBishlamei HaTfila, it doesn't...
You can textually dispute the Rush's, you know, textually you can argue how to extrapolate. That's why others disagreed, right. But obviously many big guns agreed with the Rush. So let's read the first paragraph of the Rush here. Vayhi bishnas chamesha salavim v'shivim v'shalosh lebriyas olam. So we get a date too, and in fact we not only know the date. I didn't figure out the secular date, but the year is 5073, which is 1313. I know it's not 1312. It had been in the fall, I think it would have been 1312, but because this is taking place Pesach time, it's the year 1313, and it's right after Pesach. Velo netzru hagishamim, the rains were held back. Velo himtir kol hachoref, it didn't rain all winter. Ela me'at mizer, tiny amount. They're writing in biblical Hebrew a little bit. And they called for a fast to pray to God to give rain on the face of the earth.
Where is he talking about?
This is in where?
Yes.
This is in Spain. It will become Paris, yes. Vayihi b'leil rishon shel Pesach acharei tfilas arvis. It was on the first night of Pesach after Maariv. Va'adoni avi harash. So the rush, this tshuva, I don't know which of the tshuvas of the rush are in his name, and which are written by the, you know, which have been edited by the Tor. I know when it comes to the Kitzur Piskei HaRush, some I think the Rush did, some the Tor did. So he writes, my father Hayoshev al Pesach Beso, va'anachnu k'tzas me'achaverim omden alav mimino u'smolo. And some of us, some of the chaverim, some of the rabbanim, were standing in his presence to his right and to his left. Vayomer, and he said, ata hayatov la'orer hadavar. It would be good to stir up the matter, to discuss the matter. Asher me olam tamati alav. I've always wondered about, said the Rush. Lama lo yazkilu v'yishalu hageshem ad shavuos. Why don't we ask for geshem, the same talmat al brach until shavuos? Vayanu kitzas me'achaverim. A number of the fellows said, tovu, shetodiyah hatavar lazakenim v'yasuchen. Why don't you tell this to some of the elders? And let them do it. Vayishar be'enehem, and it was good in their eyes. Vayishlechu lachazan haknesses lahaskir lemachar hageshem. He told them the next day, which was still Pesach, so there's Yom Tov Sheni, to say Masha v'urach mar hageshem. And presumably, Motse Yom Tov, they were going to say v'sein talamat l'vrachat. Vayasuchein, vayaskiru b'nei knesses hagdola hayudgem umidos. I don't know what the shloshes emidos were doing here. Vayihi kol. And when he mentioned it, when he mentioned Mashiach and Agashim, there was a noise. V'hinei rash, miktsas hachachamim asher lo haya hadavar batzasam. This is a very cynical read of it. those elders who had not been consulted on the decision, they brought forth a voice saying, they shouldn't mention Geshem, Shasimon Klalahu, because it's a sign, it's a Simon Klalah. Vayisapek Adoni Havi Harash, my father was refrained, like Vayisapek Haman, Vayisapek, Velo Diber Bayom Hahum Uma, Ad Lel Cholo Shamoet. He didn't say a word until Lel Cholomoet. Vayichtov Megillah Sefer. He wrote a long work, Lechazek Dvarav, to strengthen his argument, Vizeh Torpa. This is its Torah, this is the contents, the substance of his argument. So that was the story. And we'll get a little more history of the Rush's peregrinations from Germany to Spain and what he saw on his way in Provence and what he said to them and what they did and what they didn't do. But this is what really prompted this machlokes, and this is how the issue eventually gets discussed. So the Rush lost. It's true the Rush has lost. And on some level, it's a shame that he lost, but he did. But next week, God willing, we'll try to quickly read through the Tshuva before we go back to our Gemara. My guess, but I don't know, is there anybody here who has lived in the Southern Hemisphere and knows what they do there? My guess is that they start saying V'sein Tal L'mata L'vracha after 60 days after the Kufa. That's my guess.
The Siddurim are written. Look at what it says in the
Siddurim. That's true.
Live in Brazil.
Right. And it is particularly, on some level, you could have made a different argument.
South African, right?
Yes. I could ask my father-in-law. Yeah, that's it would seem the irony, of course, is in South Africa, if you're going to do it 50 days after the Tkufa, well, the Tkufa is Tkufas Tishrei in the Southern Hemisphere is the vernal equinox, right? If you're talking about seasons, yes, we don't celebrate Yom Tov there. I mean, that's a larger question. If Chag Matzos is supposed to be for the spring, Chag Chodesh Aviv. And Tkufas Tishrei is supposed to be Chag HaSif, and Shavuos is Chag HaKatsir Bikurim Masecha. That's not true in the Southern Hemisphere. So I my guess is that they also do December 4th/5th there.
It's sort of like we're going from Eretz Yisrael as the basis.
Well, no, they're following.
Often away, though.
Yes, seasonally it doesn't make sense. Okay.